Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, the first 11 verses of that gospel. As I read these words, listen for something that's being spoken into your heart, you know, into your life at this particular point, today. How is this speaking to you? After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I want to start off today by saying one thing. I am hurt. I am hurt. You see, no one asked me about what happened to me. Now, you know, after the fall, if you weren't here last week, well, then you're excused. But if you were not here, or if you were here, I'm hurt. One of you asked me about the bird. Said, how's the bird doing? How's the bird doing? But you ask how I fare? No, I'm hurt. Okay. And a correction. And I thought about it. It was not a 6-foot step ladder. It was an 8-foot step ladder. I was on the very top of an 8-foot step ladder, leaf rake in each hand, poised to grab the little varmint as it flew toward me. Okay, anyway. I said last week, everything went according to plan. Everything went exactly according to the plan that day. I flushed him out. He was headed right into the trap, right toward me. But even with rakes in my hand, he remained ever so elusive, ever so elusive. But I went for it anyway. I missed, okay? And then the undeniable reality of gravity assumed center stage in my consciousness. I was going to fall. 8 feet with a leaf rake in each hand, onto the living room floor, populated by not only densely placed furniture, but also by children. Okay? I had to think, and I had to think fast. And that is not easy for me. That is not an easy thing for me to do. So anyway, there was no way I was going to regain my balance. That just wasn't an option. That was an impossibility. So the question was not if I'm going to fall, but how I'm going to fall, all right? Now, not wanting to impale myself on the rakes, I immediately jettisoned them out of the scenario. I just threw them as far as I could away from me. Then instead of letting the fall take control, I took control. And I surveyed the room very quickly, and I identified a landing area, okay? And then I jumped toward it. It was like The Matrix. If you've never seen The Matrix, you need to watch it. It's the best religious movie that's out there. Anyway, everything seemed to unfold in slow motion, okay? I hit near the edge of the coffee table, and then my momentum just sent me sprawling across the table, and everything in it just went flying. And then there was the sound of sheer silence, okay? It was like an Elijah sort of thing. And that was, a self-administered triage took place. It was the only time I think my family has been concerned about my well-being. It was the only time. They gathered around to see what was left. They kind of were like peering down on me, and not much was left. But anyway, amazingly, though, I was not hurt. Thanks for asking. Oh, I forgot. You didn't ask. I'm hurt. Okay. All right. I learned something that day. I learned a very valuable lesson. Stability and order is an illusion perpetrated on us by, one, the universe, and two, by our egos. You know, the former I cannot speak to. The universe is just a tricky place that employs a lot of fancy footwork to keep us off guard, like general relativity and quantum mechanics. But anyway, the ego I know a little bit more about because I have a pretty active one, and I have had one for most of my life. And the ego is that part of the psychological makeup that believes that it's number one. You know, it believes it's number one, that it reigns supreme. It's convinced that it is in control. The ego likes to convince itself, you and me, that everything's just fine. Everything's just fine. Everything is under control. And it does an absolutely amazing job at this until it can't. Something goes very wrong, and the curtain is pulled back, and there stands a wizard, pulling all the levers and all the little things. Now, I thought I could catch the bird. I really thought with those leaf rakes I could catch that bird standing on the top of that 8-foot step ladder, about which you asked me nothing about how I was doing. Anyway, well, I tell you, I could not catch the bird. I could not catch it. You know why not? I don't want to hear that. Why not? I tell you why. Because we are falling. We are all falling. Alert the media. We are all falling. And that's a very difficult concept to get our egos and our minds around. And it took me years in a community called Pleasant Grove, United Methodist Church, to figure it out. And I still struggle with it. You see, clergy are given a front row seat to the crumbling of the ego. Many of you know my mantra, and I stand by it. Hear it again. If you have lived long enough, your life's a mess. We all are broken, seriously broken. The key is that some of us are just better at hiding it than others. Okay, I think that should be the sign that hangs over our door as you enter the church. We're all broken, we're all a mess, and at the end it should say, "Welcome to church. Come fall with us." You know, something along those lines. Now, you don't have to believe me on this, but my hunch is that if you really stop and you sit first spell just by yourself in the presence of sheer silence, you will see what I'm talking about. You know, have an Elijah moment. And if not, my guess is that you will eventually have that moment. Okay? 19th century philosopher, heard me quote this, Soren Kierkegaard once wrote that the act of walking is a continual falling down. You just put that next foot out to stop you from falling. That's walking. Most of us just don't realize it, that we're falling. All right, Elijah's running for his life in this story, okay? He's frantic, he's scared, he's desperate, and he stumbles in his chaos out into the wilderness where he hopes to find something. He hopes to find the sacred. He hopes to have an encounter with God. And you remember the story. There was a great wind. Danny just read. So strong that it was splitting mountains and rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in that wind. And there was an earthquake. Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Fire, not in the fire. No. Then there was a sound of sheer silence. Bingo. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Back to our Franciscan friend we talked about last year, Richard Rohr, who gave us the metaphor for falling. I originally was going to paraphrase Rohr at this point, but my words would have been insufficient, so you have to listen to these words of Rohr closely. In my humble opinion, these words are profound, descriptive of our human condition. The words are spot on. Here they are. Sooner or later, if you were on any classic, quote, spiritual schedule, some event, person, death, idea, or relationship will enter your life that you simply cannot deal with using your present skill set. Your acquired knowledge, your strong willpower, Spiritually speaking, you must be led to the edge of your own private resources. At that point, you will stumble over a necessary stumbling stone, as Isaiah calls it. Or to state it in our language here, you will and you must lose at something. This is the only way that life, fate, God, grace, mystery can get you to change. Let go of your egocentric preoccupations and go on the further and larger journey. It's called the necessary fall. Remember 14th century mystic Julian Norwich? First there's a fall, and then we recover from the fall. And both are gifts of God's grace. All right, so the question for us today on this 3rd of July, as we gather and try to learn more about how to live more authentic expressions of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, is this: what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And the question isn't, just a generic sort of thing, what is a person doing here? No. It's second person singular. What are you? What are you doing here? You know, obviously we're all falling together. Okay, that's a given. But the question we're being asked today is to take that idea a little bit deeper. You know, how are we individually falling in this place? How are you falling? How are you falling? How are you finding you through this community of faith? We're going to go into this a little bit deeper next week. But just begin to think about it right now. The you personalizes it, right? It takes it out of the realm of the general. People are falling. Oh, no. 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 What are you doing here? Okay. Maybe it's the birth of a child. Maybe it's a death. Or maybe it was an illness or aging or troubled teens or an addiction. I see it all the time. Those life events that change everything, that open our eyes, that put us in our cosmic place. I've been there. Those dark nights of the soul. Many of you know of those nights because you were there with me. You were there with us, our family. Led to the edge of our own private resources. Wow. In Rohr's words, we reach that point. Stumble over a necessary stumbling block, or take it in our language here, you will and you must lose at something. This is the only way that life, fate, God, grace, mystery can get you to change. Let go of your egocentric preoccupations and go on the further and larger journey. And then there was a sound of sheer silence. What are you doing here? Now, I have fallen many times in my life. And as I said last week, what I've learned from my falls, there are two ways to fall. One is totally out of control, way to fall. The other is controlled chaos. All right? So the question before us right now is, how are we going to fall? How are we going to fall? It's not if, how. You know, a belly flop and a dive are both falls. All right? And was it Toy Story? I think one. And Woody is talking to Buzz after he does a crazy sort of acrobat. He said, that's not flying. That is what? See, falling with style. Okay. Maybe that's what we're called to do in our lives. Maybe we are being called to fall with style. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about authentic expressions of faith. Falling with style. So the question is, what am I doing here? What is Jay doing here? I'm falling with you, my brothers and sisters. Falling into the lap of God with you. Where I don't have to have everything all right. I don't have to have everything perfect. I can be broken, but still embraced. You know, because faith is not about getting it right. That's critically important for us to remember. There is no right way to encounter God. That's why falling is such a good metaphor for spiritual maturation. Because falling, by definition, is not doing something the right way. And once we realize that, we self-admit that we are falling, we can begin to control our fall. And that's what we're doing here. Well, we'll talk about that next week. First there's a fall, then we recover from the fall, and both of the mercy of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.